Richard Pryor, and Montel Williams. That was it. Those were my multiple sclerosis paradigms. So as soon as like sort of I knew that that's what it was, that's the first thing my mind went to. It was like, okay, Rich Pryor. Well, no, he was a shaky mess. And it's Montel. It's like, oh, okay, well, if Montel's okay, then you can figure something out, big fella.
Everyone has a story to tell, and we invite you to join us for the Multiple Sclerosis Diagnosis Journey podcast and listen to these unique stories. Greetings and welcome to the MS Diagnosis Journey podcast. I'm your host, Laura Koloskowski, and with us today we have a very special guest, Damian Washington. Hi, Damian.
What's that you say, LK? What's happening?
I am excited to have you here. And as you all can tell, Damian brings a lot of energy to his story.
I'm excited to be in this space here with you because what you do here is very special and amplifying the voices of your not only yourself, but everyone who is also listening to you.
Thank you very much for that. And let's just jump in and let's talk about Damian now. Tell us a little bit, if you can, set the story of what were the symptoms you experienced or what was it that sent you thinking something is wrong with me?
I'm a characteristically incredibly high energy dude. And so I do massive shoots in a lot large sets and crews and things like that. So when I was decreasingly able to set up shoots with multiple people and shoot all day and edit all night, like I just had no energy. And when I would be doing high impact things on camera, like I would need to rest. And when I mean rest, I mean I'm on the floor huffing and puffing. And I've been doing this my whole life at this in this way. And so it just was like, am I dying? Like the general essence of me, I can't do what I normally do without laying here on the floor in incredible pain. Oh, and I also, my vision was jumpy. So my optic neuritis, we learned, is what it is later. However, I could not, it was difficult for me to check my blind spot when driving a car due to optic neuritis. So things were things were not good in specific particular ways that made it difficult for me to do my job and do my livelihood as I normally do it and live my regular life, just drive a car and do things for myself and my family. No, I couldn't even do that. So those were the inkling symptoms.
This sense of being fatigued and having no energy, did you just try to change that by drinking more coffee or did you actually recognize that this was a true medical problem?
No, it was definitely like, oh, more coffee, caffeine pills, like that sort of a thing. Like, oh, I'm tired, let's just keep going. And it really wasn't until the eyesight and the low energy, and I would trip and fall. Like I just was not stable on my feet. And I would lean on my wife when we were walking down the street, and we've been together a long time. And she's like, bro, you've been walking next to me down the street for 16, 15 years. So something's wrong with you, my man. I don't know what it is, but you hold me differently when we walk down the street. Something's wrong. We got to figure it out.
So was that enough to send you looking for medical information or did you actually go see a doctor?
What's the difference between those two?
Well, a lot of people, they have symptoms and they hop on talking to Dr. Google and finding excuses. Yeah.
Gotcha. A medical professional versus Dr. Google. Well, I know enough about the zeros and the ones to know that I need to see a medical professional. And as much as I could do using the computer, it would only be in complement to what somebody who went to school for a long time has to say about what I'm going through. And I went to the optometrist was like, no, something's, your eyes are fine. You need to figure something else out. I forget what other doctor we went to, after that. But then there was like somebody with my feet. I think I saw a podiatrist. I saw the optometrist. I saw like a couple of other just random specialist doctors that I could get in on. Like the wait list to see these people was long for various doctors as well. So it was the what doctors can I actually meet with in this month time span that nobody knows what's going on.
I'm laughing because during my diagnosis journey, I collected what I called a whole bunch of ologists. And so I understand the enterologist, the gastroenterologist, the ophthalmologist, the, you know, all those all ologists that. Out there. Yep. So all I appreciate
you just want to feel like a normal person.
Yep. So when did you connect with a neurologist who said, we have more going on?
Well, essentially that was emergency care. Like it's funny. I just made this story into a video. So I'm like, why is this story so such to the tip of your tongue, son? It's like, you just made this into a video. Essentially, because like I told you, I went to all the ologists and had no idea what was going on. My wife and I, we take walks. And when I was taking a walk with her, the walks would get increasingly shorter. And one time we went to take a walk and I could not make it halfway down a block. Like I was wiped. And my gait was off too. So she was like, "No, nah, let's just go back home." And I went back home. I went to take off my shoes when we got back in the house. I went to take off my shoes and I fell over. And it's like, I'm now looking at the ceiling. And I just tried to take off my right shoe. What is going on? And at that time, that's when my wife was like, "We are going to emergency care and we are not leaving until we know what's wrong with you." That emergency care doctor was like, I don't know what's wrong with you, healthy looking guy, get an MRI. And that MRI was like, this is a regular person. He totally has multiple sclerosis. He needs to go get a neurologist.
Oh, so that once you got the MRI, then it just screamed clear diagnosis for the experts.
Yeah, it was, you know, the clearest without being clear. Like this, I'm going to tell you what this is, but you need to see a neurologist to get this confirmed. Person with multiple sclerosis, but you don't have multiple sclerosis. You have things that look like multiple sclerosis. So get a specialist now, and they will tell you.
And what Damien's referring to there is oftentimes there's real hesitation by any medical experts to diagnose MS because it is a chronic disease with no known cure, and they don't want to be labeling you with something without confirmation from the experts, which would be the neurologist. So it is very rare that you'll find a primary care doctor or any of those other ologists who will declare something MS, even when it is clear cut on their MRI, which is also what happened to me, Damien. Very similar.
Speak on it. Yep.
Yep. The radiologist report said demyelinating disorder or some sort, likely MS. And then I got the referral for the neurologist. So in this process of seeing all these ologists that you went to, do you think they listened to you and took you seriously when you were presenting your symptoms? Because you are a young, healthy man, and plus you also are a Black man, we know there's a disparity in care as well as people being taken seriously. So when you presented, did they listen to you completely, you think?
Absolutely. I think that it was clear that I looked fine. But it was also clear that something's wrong with him. He can't read that. He doesn't walk right. Like the doing the tests, I would not pass any of the tests. But I look like a normal person, a regular person. And so that's when the doctor would be like, "Yo, I don't even know what's wrong with you. You go find another doctor." And then that doctor's like, "Yo, I don't even know what's wrong with you, but something's wrong with you, bro. Keep finding another one." So I never really had that dance of not being taken seriously enough or not feeling like I was listened to. There was a clear disparity in my appearance and my results in my examinations and such. So they just kept passing the ball around until we got to a neurologist.
So from start to finish, do you have a sense of how long it took from when your symptoms began to when you actually heard the words that you have multiple sclerosis?
Right. 5 to 6 months.
So,
and that's not short, and you know that.
Yeah, it's gone, not incredibly long. Not the shortest diagnosis story I've heard, but it's definitely not the longest.
It's definitely not the shortest one either of us have heard. It's definitely not a lot of most of people's experiences out here. If that's what it is, fine. It's still a long time, man.
Yeah. Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows this time span has ranged from 1 hour to 20 years. So five to 6 months seems like a long time, but it really isn't because you want to be sure whatever that diagnosis is, because it becomes so hard to take things out of your record that you want to be sure that when it goes into your record, it is accurate and concise and complete. So before this time, did you know anyone else who had multiple sclerosis? Were you familiar with MS?
Richard Pryor and Montel Williams. That was it.
Yes.
Those were my multiple sclerosis paradigms. And it didn't end too well for Richard Pryor. And Montel seemed to be well enough and being as vibrant as a person can seem to be. So that as soon as I knew that that's what it was, that's the first thing my mind went to. It was like, okay, Rich Pryor. Well, no, he was a shaky mess, but okay, that's okay, okay. And it's Montel's like, oh, okay, well, Montel's okay. Okay. Oh, okay-ish, okay, not. Like, okay, then you can figure something out, big fella. That was it.
That's two really distinct, diverse role models to look up to when you say representation matters and you look and see Richard Pryor and you look at Montel Williams. So those are great examples. I would note to everyone listening that at this point, Damien no longer is limited to just knowing two people with MS. He's known worldwide and has thousands of followers on his YouTube channel. So he's no longer a stranger to this disease. And that's what makes him such an incredible expert is his lived experience and his willingness to share that with others.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Do you have any advice for anyone who's on their own journey that says, hey, something's wrong, I'm not walking right, or I'm so tired all the time, I can't stand it, but don't know what their next step should be?
Yeah, it's such a broad question. And that because there's so many different little things that sort of get you back on the road to feeling like the person that you've known. You don't know this person. This hurt ghost of a person that you were, and you just want some semblance of vibrant health because that's what you've always known. This is why I take that pause. Like I've developed a meditation habit through understanding that I have MS, and I have a minor in Eastern Asian religions from Middlebury College. Like it was Eastern Asian religions was something that interested me in an incredible way when I was a younger person. And as I started to unpack things are going on with me, let's figure out what the next thing is. Right. It's not even about meditation. It's about listening to your gut. My gut got me to meditation, and my gut got me to start shooting videos, and my gut, et cetera, et cetera. Fill in everything and all of the accolades that you see and that, you know, bring us together, Laura. Following my gut instinct on what the next thing could be, should be, where should I look? Maybe I should try this. Maybe I should read that. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should stay all away from all of it. Whatever my gut is feeling is the next thing. Being able to listen to that and respect that and walk through that and not second guess or check that is really what is the driving force that helps move me forward, because there's so many different specific little things, but it all ties back into trusting my gut. What's the next step?
And so there you have it, folks. You've been listening to Damien Washington, and he's given us so much in this 15 minutes or so to really unpack and think about not only his symptoms, but how he's adjusted to life with MS and how he's changed from a scholarly interest in Middle Eastern and Eastern religions to adapting those to his daily lifestyle. So, but most of all, he really wants you to remain curious about what's going on. Listen to your gut, pay attention to your instincts, and keep moving on until you get the answers that you're satisfied with. So again, I'm Laura Koloskowski. Thank you, Damien, for joining us today. And do you have any final words for us?
The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. That's something that it continues to drive me whenever there's something that I know I might should do or maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, it's whatever I get the jeebies about in my gut, I run square into. And a lot of the times, part of your growth is going through that uncomfortable section of life. Like the snake sheds its skin only because it's uncomfortable. So you walking through that discomfort might lead toward another result. Not only that is part of what you imagine, but even more. So my advice to you is just to listen to your gut. And if there are things that you maybe know you should do, but over days and weeks, your behaviors don't add up to that, look into that. Because that's you. So I meditate and sit with myself all the time. So I have that relationship with me and can talk to me like that. But that's what I would say to somebody.